he'll deliver us. And there's an Aramaic word for deliverance, and it means to be rubbed smooth.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
We're so grateful, as you are our Heavenly Father and we're your children, to be a part of the royal family, to know that our lives are in your hand. Complete, concrete. We're so sure that you won't fail us, because you said those who are in your hand the devil cannot pluck out. And for that we say thank you. Now, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of hearing your word, and we pray that the Holy Spirit and his perfect teaching, preaching ministry will minister to our hearts individually and collectively. And then do in the text afresh what he desires to bring forth to our understanding, clarity, illumination, and revelation, that we might practice these principles for profit and give you all the praise. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to turn to the book of John, chapter 8, and challenge the hearts of the saints again from this familiar passage of scripture. St. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. Here you'll find these words. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject that asks a question. Are you really free? Are you really free? Jesus is dealing with this issue because there are the Jews who historically and traditionally have a misconception as to the freedom that Jesus is offering at this time. He's talking about something far deeper and far richer than just a lineage of rights and responsibilities and rewards that are handed down by those who are the seeds of or the descendants of Abraham. He's dealing with a spiritual matter far more weightier than that of a natural birth line, of that more abundant in terms of the weight and the consequences of this freedom. He's talking about a spiritual freedom that will give them far more right and glory than their lineage that they're holding on historically to. They are being broad in their pride about where they come from, Abraham being their father, they being his children, claiming certain rights and privileges. But all of those things that they are talking about are surface things because they have missed the spirit of what God was talking about in his word. Jesus is dealing with some issues here that are not only relevant to them, but they are relevant to us today. Because though now by faith we are also the seeds of Abraham, we have entered in the way God intended for the believer to enter in, and that was through his son, Jesus Christ. I want you to see this issue that takes place as Jesus is talking to these Jews who are steeped in tradition and customs, these Jews who are held firm to their convictions of their ancestry, these Jews who are prideful and are lifted up in their history. And so he's dealing with them and he's ministering the words of all of the things that concern him as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Now, as he ministers this, he talks about all of the things, in essence, that God has sent him to do, that he's the one that they should look unto, but they're not receiving this word nor this prophecy. Verse 30 says, and he spake these words. As he spake these words, many believed on him. There were some Jews who caught the vision, who heard the message, who went underneath the words and understood by the Spirit of God and their faith and desire to believe Jesus, and they believed him and received what he was offering. But look at what he says to them. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, Jesus said you're my disciples indeed because he's talking about the word becoming action. He's talking about the word being lived. He's talking about the word coming alive in vessels that will be representative of him. He's not talking about something that they have been born under, a covering that they function under, but yet they have no personal commitment or dedication to, like the Jewish nation was. So he says this to the rest of the word, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, when he's talking about this truth, he's talking about himself, and he's talking about the word that they have received. It is the word that imparts light and illumination. When they understand from the illumination of the word that they are free because of what Jesus has come to do, they will understand freedom in a whole nother way. Now look at this, because as he starts ministering continuously to them, he starts getting underneath their skin because he is shaking the foundation of their faith upon their beliefs and of which their beliefs are structured. And so he's ministering deeper now than just the surface things, and they're getting upset about it. Verse 33 says, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Now listen at this. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Well, now they're taking offense at the fact that Jesus says, you know, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Well, let's back up here a minute, Jesus. How can we be free when we were never in bondage? Now, that's just like coming to a Baptist church and telling Baptist folk, you need more than religion. You need Jesus. And you want to get some Baptist folks stirred up, you just get to messing with them and their religion, and they'll let you know, we've been doing this. Yeah. Oh, you got here, and if you visiting, you won't be coming back here preaching no more. Because when you mess with people's traditional belief systems And if they're not ready or willing to receive truth at a greater level, then they reject you and the sayings that you speak. And so this is what they're doing to Jesus, because they have for hundreds of years held on to this belief, held on to this faith, held on to this reality, and it's been passed on and handed down, and it has become stronger and stronger in the fiber of their network and being. So they are not hearing Jesus about this matter. Now look at what they said. We are not in bondage, nor have we ever been in bondage to any man. So what are you talking about? Freedom. We'll be free. Well, now Jesus wasn't talking about bondage to a man. He was talking about bondage in that reality of sin and a spiritual nature. He was talking about being in bondage to Satan, not necessarily being in bondage to man. So when they are looking at it from one perspective and on one level, Jesus is altogether different on a spiritual level. So they're not understanding this. They're not comprehending this, because he's on one level and they're on another level. Look again at what they said. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed." Speak like they're from the hood. We be. Y'all out here. We be Abraham's seed. Listen at this. "And were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin." Amen. Now he redirects their focus off of the natural and brings it now into the spiritual. He takes it out of the arena that they are comfortable with, and he brings it to a new arena to make them aware of. They are in sin and have been living in sin. Though they have been religious, they were not righteous. Jesus is trying to bring their religion up to a righteous level. And you can't have righteousness without Jesus Christ. You can have religion without Jesus, but you can't have righteousness without Jesus. So he's saying, I'm not refuting the fact that you're religious people. I am saying, however, you're not righteous people, because you're still caught up in bondage in the sin issue. So now he's talking about this issue, because what they don't understand is, just because they are heirs of Abraham, seed of Abraham, doesn't mean they're going to get into the kingdom just because of who their father was. That they're not getting in on Abraham's faith. They've got to have some faith of their own. Jesus is saying, yes, I understand that you are the seed of Abraham, historically speaking, but you are not the seed of Abraham by faith. And so the faith issue is the issue Jesus is addressing, because they need to know they can't see the Master, the Heavenly Father, unless they walk in the faith that their earthly father, Abraham, walked in. And that was the faith of obedience, and that was the faith of faithfulness to God, so much so that God called Abraham his friend. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this word. The Bible says, again, 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin." You've got to understand, you are in bondage because you are sinners. And because you have a sin nature, the devil is in control of your actions, your attitudes, your ambitions, and all of those activities that you engage in. You don't realize it, because it's a sin, spiritual issue. Now, they held all of the laws. They worked in their ceremonial rites. They did all of the things according to the word that they had by tradition, but not the word that Jesus was giving them by revelation. Now, listen at this. Bible says, verse 35, "And the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever." Now he's trying to show them now some things out of which they understand. Now, servants and sons, though they both are in the same house, one is there temporarily, the other is there forever. The son has the rights and the responsibility and the rewards of being in the house, and whatever comes of the father and from the father, he enjoys those things fully. A servant can only enjoy what his master allows him to enjoy in the house. A servant can be in the house and still not enjoy the house. And a servant can dust the furniture but can't sit on the furniture. Yeah. Servant can wash the dishes but can't eat out of. Are y'all with me here? Just because you're in the house don't mean you have the liberties of the house. So he's saying, listen, that there is a difference between sons and servants. And you know that at any given time when the father or any one of the sons got ready to get rid of a servant, they were out of the door just at that word. But it is not so with a son. Amen. So servants come and go, but a son is there forever. So listen at this, because he's bringing this point on to make another point. The Bible says in verse 36, if the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Back up to verse 35. And the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever or ever. Now listen at this. What he was saying, he was drawing now on the common understanding of how, because in this crowd there were Jews, there were Romans, there were Greeks, and yet their different lifestyles and the traditions and customs of their cultures were blended with one another, and many times, if not blended, they were certainly known by one another. So Jesus uses to draw this point because he's trying to infuse the reality that what God had given to you, you've rejected and thrown out, so now he's giving a privileged right to accept others who will accept him. So no longer is the privilege that you enjoyed being the seeds of Abraham left just for the Jews. It's now open up to whosoever will. Now here's what you needed to know. In the Greek and the Roman culture, a son had the right and the ability to, and or an heir, had a right to invite or adopt other brothers in the family. So in other words, you know, just like a child comes home and they bring a stray cat or stray dog or whatever the case is, and you let them keep it because they like it, they fell in love with it so much, you're like, oh no, you don't want it, whatever. Well, anyway, it's the same concept here. If they saw someone else, or if there was a slave in the house that they desired to bring to another status, they, by right of sonship and heirship, had the right to make a son, or rather a slave a son, or make anyone outside of the household an adopted son, who then had the same privileges of a son. And they then too could adopt others because they had as much right as the biological son had. So listen at this, because Jesus is bringing this point clear, that the son also, and especially in the Roman culture, a son could free a slave in the house. And when that son freed that slave, the father and nobody else could make that slave who was freed a slave again. So when Jesus says, listen, if the son makes you free, then can't nobody bring you back in bondage again in this house. Now they understood that, but what they did not understand was he was the son in his father's house who had the right to come down here and free us as slaves and make us as sons so that we could tell somebody else what he's done for me. He can do the, I wish I had a witness, same thing for you. And by right, I have the privilege as a son to go out into the world and say, my brother, God loves you, and if you'll accept Jesus, you can become a son just like I am. I have that right. And this is what Jesus was talking about. And they could not comprehend this. They didn't understand it. They understood the natural application, but they did not understand the spiritual application. Look at what the Bible says again. Verse 37. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Historically speaking, Jesus is saying, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. Now he starts now breaking down whose side they're on, where their history and pedigree comes from. Jesus is saying, now technically Jesus is a part of this Jewish nation, but Jesus is saying, I want to make clear, we don't have the same father. Look at him, he's breaking it down. This is revelation to revolutionary and revelational to them, because they're thinking they all are part of the same family. Jesus said, no, no. He said, I've seen some things, and I'm sharing with you what I've seen of my father. And then I'm looking at the way you're acting and seeing how you're carrying on, and I see you getting the same things from your father. Now look at what the Bible says. Verse 39. They answered and said unto him,
Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. There is a genetic code that brings on the characteristics and the traits of a father or mother or the parents into the child. He's saying, there ain't nothing about Abraham that looks like it's a part of you. You aren't really Abraham's children because you don't look like him. You don't walk like him. You don't talk like him. You don't do anything like Abraham. Matter of fact, I know who your father is, and it's not Abraham. Listen at this here, because he's making something clear. But now ye seek to kill me. Verse 40. A man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't try to kill me. Abraham didn't try to disobey God. Abraham didn't try and walk opposite of what God had ordered. You're walking in disobedience. Those who are children of another father. When I look at what verse 41 says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. Listen, we have one father, even God. Now they say, Jesus, you done made us mad now. And I don't know if you've ever been in an argument with folk, but when they can't win the argument, then they start hitting below the belt. Have I got any witnesses here? I mean, when they can't say anything else that'll get underneath your skin, then they start getting down and dirty. And so now, listen at this, because if you do any study of the scripture, you're going to find out that the reference is now back to his birth and to his parents. So now they're hitting him with a low shot because they're saying, wait a minute, now you bringing up this parent issue. We wasn't going to say nothing about this, but since you own the subject and you're talking about Abraham is not our father. Well, we happen to know that we were not born in fornication. Our mother and fathers were married when we were born. Now listen at this, because the record shows and the whole reference is to the fact that Mary was pregnant before Joseph had married her. And so they're trying to say that Mary got pregnant by Joseph and Joseph was his father. Well, Jesus wants to clear up the matter and let them know. Now, yes, Mary did marry Joseph, but Joseph wasn't my father. Now, if you're going to dig right. If you're going to get the truth, get the whole truth and nothing but the truth. It's right here in the text. Let's go there. Let's go there because some of y'all are looking at me like I'm lying. Come on, listen. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. Why? Because you'd know I'm your brother. And you would have the spirit of love because that is the spirit of God. It is love. Listen to what he says. For I proceeded forth and came from who? Not Joseph. I'm not of the seed of Joseph. He said, I came forth, I was brought forth and came from God. That is my father. Listen at this now. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now he's bringing them right back to the issue that they're dealing with, and he's clarifying that and helping them to understand who he is and where he came from. Look at what the word says. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. Now you know that blood is boiling right about now. Because Jesus is saying here, you're not of God, you don't love me, you're trying to kill me. Abraham is not your father. Your father really is the devil. He's a murderer, been a murderer from the beginning. He's a liar. Every lie that comes forth comes from him. Everything that he has in his heart and mind, you, his children, will fulfill it out of his lust. So you need to know it is by the power that is in you that controls you. If you are of God, the spirit of God will control you. If you are of the devil, the spirit of the devil will control you. And your actions and your deeds will bear witness to who your father truly is. So Jesus is making clear, in essence, that you are revealed by your works and your actions, your attitudes, and your ambitions. Now look at what he goes on and says. Which of you convinced me of sin? Which of you convicted me or convicts me of sin? Which of you can make sure blame, put blame on me? It's not about a sin issue with me. I don't have that problem here. Listen to what he's dealing with here. He says, and if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? You can't say I'm a sinner. You can't say I've done anything wrong. I don't have a record that you can bring against me so that you could say my father is the devil because I've been a murderer, a liar, a sinner. I'm not under that bondage. I am a free son of the house of God, and I have the power to free you because I am the son of Almighty God. My father has given me the privilege and power to redeem and to bring into a right relationship and fellowship those who will believe and receive me. And look at what he goes on to say. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Jesus was asking them, in essence, are you really free? Can you honestly say that you're free, or are you going through the motions? Because there are a whole lot of us every Sunday morning who claim that we're free, but we're walking in bondage. We have no joy in our lives, no fulfillment in our lives. We are disillusioned and cynical. We are hard to get along with. We have nothing worth living for, and yet we call ourselves Christians. We're free when we've got to take drugs to pick us up and drugs to break us down. We're free when we got to hit the bottle so that we can keep our peace and our wits all about us. We're free when we have to go seeking love in all the wrong places, trying to fill our void underneath the skin. We're free when we have divinely received what God has offered, but yet we have rejected it in lieu of our own plan for our own lives. We're free when God has offered to us all things freely for those who have accepted Jesus. Now, when he talked about being a son, he talked about having the privilege and the leverage and the right and the equal joint responsibility and accountability and rewards as Jesus had here on earth. So we have the power to use and utilize the authority of Jesus when we become sons of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that Jesus did, Jesus even said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go back to my Father. And I'm giving you a power that you might operate in, that you might function in, that you might flow in, so that all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. But if you don't love your brother, you are just like a murderer. That's what Jesus was talking about. How can you say you're Abraham's son when you're trying to kill one of his children? You say you're free when you allow the devil to use your mouth to murder people's reputations, murder people's lives, murder people's joy. You say you're free when you let the enemy come into you and destroy the joy that God has given you. He said, I've given you joy, and my prayer is that it may be full, that you will have fruit and they remain, not be here today and gone tomorrow, not do good today and bad tomorrow, but have a stability about your life. You say you're free, and yet you're always crying and cynical and complaining. You say you're free, and you're always walking around with sickness in your body, always walking with a defeated attitude, always walking around here feeling like the world has dumped on you. And well, if they have, get on up from the bottom and get on the top where you belong. I don't know many folk that go around throwing trash up. They throw it down. Get up from down there and get in your rightful position, and they won't dump on you. Some of us sit in church, on our jobs, in our homes. People can't tell we got no joy, no Jesus, no nothing. Look like we always mad. Just sit there, look like bulldogs. Faces all twisted up, always angry. Scared to speak to somebody, scared they're going to bite your head off. And I'm talking about in church. Amen. Where is your freedom? We celebrate this 4th of July as a day of independence. The fathers of this country signed the Declaration of Independence, stating how we were free and had come together and was believing God in that same Declaration of Independence, talking about looking forward to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness and all of these things. They were looking unto God for that. The independence that they received also by the same token made them dependent on God bringing